Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Thursday. Appreciate you joining us here on AFR. Joining me to co-host today is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, what's up, Tim? How are you?
Doing well. What's the weather report today in KCMO?
Okay, just tell me if you like this.
All right.
About 78 degrees.
Yeah.
Sunny. Very little wind, not much humidity. I believe you'd call this good golf weather, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Right there. That sounds like perfect golf weather, except...
It's a good day to be outside.
For golfers like myself, we like an excuse. So if the wind's blowing, you know,
that helps.
Or whatever like that. But a perfect day, yeah. Are you going bike riding today?
Yes, sir. This afternoon. Get my 15 miles in.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today, as you would expect. Got a Supreme Court nominee to be announced on Saturday. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is—they're having services today. I guess you could say, Fred, is that right? Is that what you call them?
Yeah, her body is lying in repose for the second day on the porch of the Supreme Court building in Washington. Just about an hour ago, President Trump and First Lady Melania paid their respects to the late Justice Ginsburg. The crowd was not very nice as they emerged from the back of the Supreme Court building. They were shouting things like, vote him out, that kind of thing. So they did not spend too long on that porch, but they did go there and pay their respects to the late Justice Ginsburg.
Is that the proper terminology for... Did you say lying in repose?
Lying in repose there at the Supreme Court. Tomorrow, her body is taken to the Capitol building, and there the reference is lying state.
Gotcha. That's the difference.
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right. Well, what's leading the news this morning, Fred?
Well, our top story is Dateline Louisville, Kentucky. And about 24 hours ago, businesses in downtown Louisville were boarding up their windows, vacating the premises. National Guard put on alert. That all in advance of the announcement that came about mid-afternoon yesterday from the grand jury that was looking into the shooting death of Breonna Taylor. She is the young African-American woman. She was in an apartment there in Louisville. Police arrived at their door. They believe there were... reason to believe that there was drug sales going on in that apartment. Now, here's where the story really started to unfold yesterday. In announcing the grand jury decision, which was one of the police officers now facing three charges of wanton endangerment, what we have been told about this incident, which occurred back in March of this year, is that the police show up with a no-knock warrant. Basically, the image is we're coming. They don't announce their presence. They're coming in, and the police officers open fire into that apartment. That's what we knew prior to the grand jury decision yesterday. But yesterday, in announcing this decision, the Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron filled in a lot of details that we have not been aware of up to now. I want to play you cut one, and then we'll come back and discuss this a little bit more. Cut one.
Evidence shows that officers both knocked and announced their presence at the apartment. The officer's statements about their announcement are corroborated by an independent witness who was near in a proximity to apartment four. According to Kentucky law, the use of force by Mattingly and Cosgrove was justified to protect themselves. This justification bars us from pursuing criminal charges in Miss Breonna Taylor's death.
All right. So that was an important note on this case, because up to now, basically, we've been told the police charge in They opened fire, leading into the death of Breonna Taylor. What we know now, they did announce their presence. They knocked, announced their presence. They came in, and her boyfriend, who was there at the time, opened fire on them. And so there was this gun exchange, and sadly, she lost her life in this. So what happened after this decision was announced, as was expected, riots broke out last night. There were two police officers wounded in the gunfire last night. They're going to be okay. Their wounds were fairly superficial. I guess it was expected. You know, it was really interesting. Before the decision came, I was watching live coverage of the street there, downtown Louisville. Some protesters could be seen with high-powered rifles on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. We also saw video of a U-Haul truck pulling up. And when the decision came out there, which obviously these protesters were upset about, they started carrying signs out of the back of this U-Haul, which leads us to believe there was a very detailed plan in place as to what was going to happen after this decision came.
Walker, what are they protesting?
Well, they would say that they're protesting, they would say no-knock warrants, even though we know that to be not true in this instance.
They had a warrant.
I said no-knock, meaning they didn't. The narrative has been by the media and by others is that these police officers just barged in to the apartment complex without identifying themselves or knocking on the door, which is legal. A no-knock warrant is legal. But in this instance, that proved to be false. The Kentucky Attorney General said that we just played at the press conference yesterday, the officers not only knocked, but they identified themselves. So that narrative is not true, but
They had been, excuse me for interrupting you, but the police had been tracking this particular apartment. Was it an apartment?
Yes. Yeah, and yes.
Because of drugs were going in and out of there.
Right.
Over a course of months. True?
Correct.
And so that's the reason they had the warrant to go there, and the police had to execute that warrant. So that's what led to this situation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and when the police identified themselves, knocked on the door, and then entered, they immediately began receiving gunfire from Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, who was in the bedroom with her. And in the course of that gunfire exchange, which was initiated by the boyfriend, Breonna Taylor was shot. So it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. But from a legal perspective, this charge that the officer got, which had nothing to do with really the Breonna Taylor, it had to do with stray bullets going into the apartment next door. The highest charge you can get upheld in this situation, because there is such thing as justified use of force for police officers, and this case was purely justified.
Well, could somebody then explain that there's only one officer who is being charged? So Walker, Fred, could one of you guys explain exactly this wanton discharge? What exactly, what's he being charged with doing?
He's being charged with firing with not only discharging his firearm, but discharging it in such a manner that it threatened the lives of innocent bystanders, which is in the next apartment complex.
How in the world is he supposed to help that?
Well,
about an apartment complex at night with gunshots.
I know, yeah, but in other circumstances, this probably wouldn't have even been a charge, because you've got gunfire back and forth, bullets going all over the place. But I think this is the only charge that prosecutors could get to stick.
And that upset the crowd. Can I go back to just something, Tim, you just indicated that the police were aware that this apartment was a location where illegal drug exchanges were going on. This more details have just come out in the last 2 days on this. Breonna Taylor had an ex-boyfriend by the name of Jamarcus Glover. Now, Glover is accused of being a drug trafficker. What we didn't know is that Glover, going back and forth into Breonna's apartment, police had placed a tracking device on his car, which show he made frequent trips to her apartment, leading police to believe her apartment was a holding place for drugs and money. Glover was also heard telling someone that Taylor handled his money, although that hasn't been proven. Taylor also seemed familiar with Glover's world of drugs. According to this American Thinker report, when he was arrested in January, he called to ask her to locate an associate who could post bail. She answered that the associate was, quote, already at the trap.
Where are you getting this story?
This is from the American Thinker, written by reporter Andrea Widberg.
Okay.
All right. So she uses that phrase, which is slang for a drug trafficking house.
You know what you got here is, seems to me, fellas, is the police are executing a warrant. You got drugs being run in and out of an apartment. There are questions that I have that maybe the Attorney General answered yesterday that are just questions I have. Why didn't you arrest them when they were walking in the apartment? Surveil. Why do you have to bust down the door to go in the middle of the night? That's just a question I have. Okay, I don't know. Maybe there's a legitimate answer, a logical explanation for that. But in any event, what you got here is an unfortunate, tragic situation, and somebody died. And here's the problem with that kind of thing happens with police sometimes across America. So rather than that being the story, the left-wing media and the celebrities and so forth, they turned this into white cops shot an innocent woman while she's sleeping at night in her bed after they busted in her apartment unannounced. That's what we've been led to believe for the last few months, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. These people either A, lack critical thinking skills, or B, they just want to inflame racial tensions in America for some ulterior motive. Okay? Because the idea that these officers went into this apartment to gun down a black woman for her skin color is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so why you can't step back and say, listen, this is a sad, tragic story. It sounds like she was hanging out with the wrong kind of people if you assume that she was innocent in all this. And an officer has been charged with one count. But the officers were exonerated, if that's what you want to call it, yesterday, or were not charged, because when they went in there, the boyfriend of this woman who died started shooting at them. Well, they have a right to defend themselves at that point, and that's a, you know, high-intensity situation. So either you want police, either police officers have to do their job by stopping the drug running in Louisville, Kentucky, by executing a search warrant that the law required them to do, or you just say we're not doing that any longer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The police should have said, no, we're not doing that. We're not, judge, we're not executing a search warrant. So, mm-hmm. How do you like that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one issue that a lot of people have trouble with is that just because there's a tragedy doesn't mean someone should go to jail for the rest of their life. And we have a law, we have a judicial system and laws that are meant to use as a measuring stick to determine if someone intentionally killed someone else. And in this case, the police officers were returning fire on the guy who was shooting at them. And it's a tragedy that Taylor was caught in the crossfire.
So we have these riots and people protesting across America and on television. So I do understand it, and I don't understand why they're doing this. Because when you live in a country of 330 million people, you know, you're going to have things that happen that, as I say, are tragedies and unfortunate, Ray, but you have interactions with police officers all over America every day. Sometimes things aren't going to go perfectly. And it doesn't mean you – but why does that translate into that cops are out to kill black people and we need to burn everything down in protest. I don't follow the logic.
Well, first of all, as we've all said, it's truly tragic that that a bullet hit this woman and she's gone. Her life has been taken. That's truly tragic. It's hard to imagine, Tim, a more chaotic situation than it's after midnight. You're in an apartment building. You've got the warrant. You knock on the door, which, by the way, the fact they've got a witness now who heard the knock on the door, that just puts the end to the lie that this was a no-knock warrant. They didn't just come barging in. But it's the boyfriend who pulls his gun and starts shooting. What do they think the cops are going to do?
Well, if the boyfriend didn't hear the cops identify themselves, I don't know if he did or not. Who knows if he's stoned or laying in bed asleep or whatever. If somebody barges in my house in the middle of the night and I'm startled and I do have access to a gun, I'm probably going to shoot too. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's going to be the argument, right? What you just said will be the argument.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You'd have to interview him and find out what the circumstances were. I guess what I'm saying, this is a definition of the word tragedy that we've all used here.
Right.
And I'm just saying, even if it happened like I just described, it's an unfortunate situation that happened, but we don't tear down the country and riot and loot and burn things down because of it. If you say that's okay to do that in protest, then if I don't get the kind of grand jury indictment that I want, then we're just not going to have a country left,
right?
Because there's going to be no law and order. And what I see and hear from a lot of these celebrities, these left-wing media types, is they're giving a pass to these looters and rioters and arsonists and anarchists.
Yeah.
Or if they're not giving a pass to them, they're not criticizing. They're saying things like, "Oh, well, you got to understand why they're behaving this way because they're enraged because black lives are in danger." The guy yesterday on MSNBC, I guess, said this young professional fella, African-American guy, I guess far left, said, you know, this means black people can be shot all over America. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. And anyway, go ahead.
To your point on celebrities, Colin Kaepernick, I guess no surprise, condemning what happened yesterday, the decision on the charges, but also Oprah Winfrey has inserted herself into all of this. Obviously, she thinks an injustice has been done. The Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron addressed the issue of celebrities inserting themselves in these situations. Cut two.
There will be celebrities, influencers, and activists who, having never lived in Kentucky, will try to tell us how to feel, suggesting they understand the facts of this case and that they know our community and the Commonwealth better than we do. But they don't. Let's not give in to their attempts to influence our thinking or capture our emotions. At the end of the day, it is up to us. We live here together.
Yeah, that excellent talk there. And I watched that basically that whole presentation by the Attorney General of Kentucky. Well, this will happen again sometime in the near future. This kind of thing will happen again because, as I say, a country of 330 million people, cops interacting with folks all the time, you're going to have things happen that are unfortunate. But the idea that the narrative is that she was murdered because she was murdered by the police because she was black, a black woman, and her life doesn't matter. That's what the case that the AG laid out yesterday, by the way, an African-American man, and their investigation and what the cops testified to and others. How do you know, for those who are saying it was murder, how do you know that?
Well, I think what we've seen happen here is this tragedy has been hijacked by people with political ends in mind. And whether it be the BLM organization, Antifa, Democrat operatives, they're using what is a tragedy to advance their political narrative and agenda. Police are bad.
To what end?
Well, they want to defund the police. They think all police are bad. They think they're racist. They're systemic racism, and they want to defund them.
Defund the police. That's the end game here.
That's
the end of America as we know it. Anarchy rules.
That's what they
if
say.
If anarchy can rule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just nuts.
I know.
Anyway, I guess these folks making pronouncements like it's murder or and so forth. I noticed one of the NFL players said, just one NFL player, maybe there are others, said there might be other protests by NFL in response to Breonna Taylor's decision. I guess, Ray, if you don't reach the conclusion they want to reach on something that's not obvious, it's not obvious. These people who are making claims of murder and so forth and injustice, they didn't go through the whole grand jury process of hearing all the evidence and knowing what the police are supposed to do and their training and they were fired upon and what the reaction was. They don't even care about anything like that. Mm. They've already got their mind made up before the AG ever makes explained to everything yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you do for these people.
Yeah,
I really don't know. As I say, many of them, I guess, lack critical thinking skills, or A, they just want to inflame racial tensions in America, and whatever, anytime you can do that, you need to do that. To what end? I'm not sure exactly, except maybe the one you mentioned, Walker.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker and Ray and Fred. Fred, next story.
Yeah, and somewhat related to what we've been talking about, there is a headline story this morning from Fox News. Gun sales in major swing states up nearly 80% this year. And I think that goes to a reflection of growing concern in this country for lawlessness, what we've just been talking about, these protests, and the fact that people feel, and I'm assuming here, that they feel they need to go out to get a gun to protect themselves. They're feeling a danger where they live in these swing states. The FBI is saying the Bureau processed 93% more background checks nationwide from March through July this year compared to the same previous year. So that is an indicator. That is kind of a taking of the pulse of where the nation is right now because of all the lawlessness they're seeing. They're seeing people being intimidated at their houses. We had protesters outside of Mitch McConnell's house the other day, outside of Senator Lindsey Graham's house in South Carolina. There is just, you know, people being approached verbally and otherwise in restaurants. There is just a growing concern that amongst a lot of people, apparently, according to this story, that I need to take steps that I've never thought I would have to take to protect myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're seeing these, what's going on in the country, especially in these big cities. And, yeah, people naturally say, what if that comes to my neighborhood or my house where I get trapped in a situation mm-hmm. like that? I want to be able to defend myself and my family. So it's only natural that would happen. Although, didn't gun buying go up during the Obama years too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many more guns we there are.
Americans like their guns.
Goodbye. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. By the way, if you want to follow us on Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube, and you can watch the show live there. And we will continue with more of the program when we get back in a couple of minutes.
We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time.
We're Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't roar?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before. Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association. The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Favich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed Himself to be, and He's revealed Himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Shirley Udy of Kokomo, Indiana, needed new struts for her 2002 Chrysler. The mechanic said it would cost nearly $900. Shirley is an 85-year-old widow. She lives off Social Security, barely enough money for living, much less fixing a car. But thanks to a bunch of good-hearted mechanics, Shirley was able to not only get her car fixed, but they also changed her oil and topped off her fluids. The mechanics are volunteers with God's Garage, a ministry of Crossroads Community Church. Tom Smith opened the garage back in 2018 to help single moms, veterans, and elderly folks like Shirley. The work is done free of charge. The customers, well, they just have to pay for parts, and it turns out a good many local auto parts stores were more than happy to offer discounts. That meant Shirley was able to get her car repaired for just $263, thanks to the Good Samaritans under the hood at God's Garage. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Walker, Ray, and Fred. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We were talking about the...
Breonna Taylor
case in Louisville, Kentucky, and what the Attorney General of the state of Kentucky announced yesterday after a full investigation and the grand jury. They found charges are being brought against one of the police officers for wanton endangerment. Is that what they call it?
Yes.
But other than that, the police officers were not charged in that situation. And, these incidents, fellows, like the Breonna Taylor case, the George Floyd case, and several others that we could name over the last 5 or 10 years. These kind of things happen to white people every day and to people, Hispanic people, every day across America. I'm talking about interactions with police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they go bad. I watched a fella in Texas, a white guy who was drugged up on the ground, like George Floyd. The police had to subdue him and kneel on him, and he ended up dying. He had a cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
You didn't hear about that.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm just, what I'm saying is that the idea that police officers are targeting African-Americans for death in America is not true.
Right.
But that's But when the news media picks up on a story like Breonna Taylor, for example, and they run with it for 6 months, and people and you get half truths, you don't even get they don't even wait for the investigation to come out before right. before you get the half truths that are flying everywhere, and people are projecting onto the story their own political thoughts and views, prejudices, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That is terrible for our country. Is what I'm saying.
Right.
And it's a terrible, it's like what the Attorney General said yesterday of Kentucky. It's mob rule.
Yeah.
Is that what we want? We want mob rule in this country. And furthermore, we are denigrating police as a profession, and that we're going to pay a price for that.
Yes.
Down the road.
Right.
Because what's going to happen is the more experienced cops who've been on the force for a long time,
mm-hmm.
who are building toward retirement, they're going to choose to get out and do another profession, for example. Say, I'm not. And then what are you going to get? You're going to get younger, less experienced police officers interacting with the public.
Yeah.
And that's
it ends up making our communities less
well,
safe.
Well, that plus people are feeling emboldened to fight the police and talk back to them and flip them off. And if you, so if you're going to have loss of respect for the authority of the badge, oh my goodness, we're going to have these things happen. We're going to see video of it. This happening every day or every week
mm-hmm.
in America. I saw yesterday a video of in Ohio, a woman at a football game, a high school football game, I guess it was, a young lady, and the officer was removing her from the stadium or attempting to because she wasn't wearing a face mask. Okay. Well, the woman started fighting back against the cop. This was a white lady.
Hmm.
She started hitting back at the cop. And that's not going to end well.
No.
I'm saying... So I think we're conditioning a lot of Americans to think it's okay.
If you don't agree with the officer,
you have a right to slap him
right.
or to spit in his face or to flip him off or tell him where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if that starts to permeate society at large, we're gonna have, oh man, the problems that come with that
mm-hmm.
are gonna be terrible. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio with Jan Markell. Joins us most Thursdays. At this time, she's the president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries and host of Understanding the Times Radio, which airs each weekend here on AFR. Jan, good morning to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Jan, you live in the Twin Cities area. Did you say you had some riots last night or not?
Yeah, fallout from the Louisville situation, but... You know, listening to your conversation there, Tim, and Twin Cities here, particularly Minneapolis, the crime is up, I believe it's 800%. And, you know, this is the city council here that voted in June to abolish the police. That would have to go to a vote of the people, and of course, it hasn't gone to a vote, and even if it did, it wouldn't pass. But the point is, the mindset was to abolish the police, and as a result, a number of police are retiring, as you said, and they're stepping down, and they're choosing not to go into this profession. Crime soars now 800%. You know, these things have consequences, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Fred?
Yeah, how do you connect this with Scripture, Jan, when you see the lawlessness that is increasing across our country, when people, as Tim was just saying, start to believe they have the right to attack those whose responsibility is to uphold the law? A country cannot survive.
Correct. Yes, and the Bible foretells for a last generation. Excuse me, gentlemen. And the Bible foretells a rise in lawlessness here towards the last generation, and particularly during the tribulation. And then that's actually, we're not in the tribulation, but And sometimes I think we're heading there really quickly, though the church escapes all that. But I just see a lot of these events, including the lack of respect for authority. And some of this is predicted. You look at 2 Timothy 3, and there's a whole lineup of character decline in 2 Timothy 3, lovers of self, lovers of money, cruel, brutal, etc. It goes on, and actually that passage is addressed to the church. And you've got the Romans 1 decline of character also outlined. And so I think Scripture is fulfilling itself, which is Christianity is the only faith that has a Bible that talks about the future and that actually predicts the future, and we're watching it unfold. It's interesting, exciting, but you know what? It's also disheartening.
Jan, just to follow up on that, what does the Bible mean in 2 Thessalonians when it talks about the Antichrist and calls him, quote, the man of lawlessness? Is there some kind of connection between the anarchy we see in the world around us and the rise of the coming Antichrist?
Well, I think what we have in the last year or so is the rise of the spirit of Antichrist. And I actually have a message I give that talks about that. The Antichrist isn't here. That's for the tribulation. That's a future event, a future time period coming up, which, I mean, could be over the horizon. But the rise of the spirit of Antichrist, you know, we even saw that. I consider Minnesota and the Twin Cities kind of the heartland where these things probably don't happen. But even as recently as last October, President Trump came to the Twin Cities for just a rally, and our downtown Minneapolis was all completely torn up with rioters. That's before any of this current stuff broke out. So even a year ago, I was seeing the shades of it start to shape up, at least locally, in other parts of the country. Of course, this is where George Floyd began. The George Floyd incident is 20 minutes from where I'm located in my offices here. But, you know, I don't think any particular area I think it's an issue that is coast-to-coast, and quite frankly, it's happening in Europe, it's happening in Australia, and that is because, again, this rising tide of lawlessness, which is predicted, it's the spirit of Antichrist, and that's really a tribulation event, but all of the tribulation is casting a shadow on the church age, and that's what we see happening today. It's casting a shadow on the church age.
Can President Trump win Minnesota?
You know, Tim, it's possible, and what I'm told is once you leave the Twin Cities, the signs are all Trump. Even Iron Range, which is northern part of Minnesota, traditionally Democrat for 120 years, all the signs are Trump. And it's because Minnesotans are fed up with the promises the Democrat Party makes and never keeps. And if it happens, it'll be a miracle, but it could happen in 2020.
Yeah. Jan, what do you got coming up on your show this weekend?
Oh, we're going to talk about all these things that we're talking about today. So I think it'll be timely and relevant for your listeners. We love our AFR people.
Thank you, Jan. Take care.
All right. Goodbye. Okay,
bye-bye. That's Jan Markell. You can listen to her program, Understanding the Times, which is very popular with our AFR listeners, at noon Sunday, Central Time. And is it 1 p.m. Saturday?
It's 1 p.m. Saturday, I believe, and 12 p.m. Central,
Central
on Sunday.
Time. Anyway, go to our website, afr.net, and you can check out the times for all our shows there on the program. Did you guys see Ray and Fred? And I was just seeing this article from the New York Post. Joe Biden's campaign, they have a term that they use in politics, I guess, called the lid. I didn't know what it meant till yesterday. Or a lid, L-I-D. And the idea is that the campaign is shut down for the day. There'll be no public appearances or announcements or anything like that. this is today, Thursday. It says he's giving a whole new meaning to Morning Joe. With just 40 days until the presidential election, Joe Biden's campaign called a lid at the early hour of 9 a.m. today, Thursday, meaning the Democrat nominee won't be holding any public events for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. I know why.
Why?
He's starting preparation for the debate.
Yeah. Well,
for next week,
for his sake, I hope he is for next week. And Kamala Harris, she has no public event. She rarely speaks.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And neither one of them are taking any.
You would think she would kind of become the face of the campaign.
She's not very good. Have you seen her?
As far as being likable, or
She doesn't add much energy to the...
She's just waiting for the Harris administration to take control.
She was picked because she was a woman of color.
Yeah.
Look, Tim, in football terms, isn't this like a team that has a touchdown lead with, say, 7 minutes left?
Yeah.
You look at the scoreboard, so you're just trying to run out the clock and not make a mistake. I think they're so convinced that the leading polls are right. Plus, they don't want Joe... Every time he comes out,
I know.
Every time he comes out, there's a gaffe, right?
Yeah.
So
he shows that he's not 100%.
So to Ray's point, they've basically balanced out their options here, and they're going with the safe option. Let's just keep things low key through November and hope that the polls stay where they are.
Interesting. Yesterday, I saw a Joe Biden was in North Carolina. I think he did get out on the campaign trail. And he was getting on a plane, I think, to go home to Delaware. And one reporter asked him, you know, what do you have going for you? And he said, Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pretty
good answer. To the point you guys are saying is, what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and their team are hoping is they win by default. They win because...
Right.
He's counting on winning because he isn't Donald Trump, and Donald Trump will fail, and he will be the benefactor.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question, guys. Yeah. Is there any chance that Joe finds a way out of the debate next Tuesday night?
No, I think he's going to be there. Tim, here's the honest answer to that reporter's question, what Joe has going for him. The honest answer is the mainstream media.
Right.
That's who he's got going for.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, even some of them are getting frustrated by no questions being allowed.
Yeah.
I saw that. Go ahead.
This is starting to line up very similar to Hillary Clinton. She did more campaigning. She was on the trail more, talking more.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as kind of not really interacting with the media a whole lot, and it's a very controlled, let me just say, it's a very controlled campaign, but not in a good sense. Controlled so much where people don't feel like they're getting access and getting the truth out there.
Well, the element, though, you know, that was kind of interesting what Jan just told us about the areas of Minnesota outside of Minneapolis, you know, including that area she mentioned, which normally goes Democrat. There is a Washington Post ABC poll out this morning on Florida that has Trump up 4 points. I just think the American people are a whole lot smarter than what the mainstream media thinks they are. They're seeing through all of this.
Yeah, and a lot of Trump voters they don't really want to come out in the public and say that they're voting for Trump.
Yeah.
And they probably don't feel comfortable telling someone on the phone that they don't know that they're voting for Trump. So,
well, but that's because some people on the political left are unhinged, and they're violent, and they're vulgar and rude, and they'll rip hats off of people who are wearing MAGA hats. Mm-hmm. You identify as a Trump, you have a Trump campaign, Trump bumper sticker on, they'll spray paint your car.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the things that people are worried about, and so when you have that kind of concern, then you may be reluctant to voice who you're going to vote for, and that may be the secret vote that we've been suspicious of. Although we'll have to see if that materializes. Mm-hmm. Hey, joining us right now is Dr. Alex McFarland from North Carolina. Alex is on each afternoon with Bert Harper here on Exploring the Word on AFR at 3:00 Central Time, as they have a live on the radio Bible study each day. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody.
What do you think about what we're talking about here?
Well, I love listening to you all. It's very interesting. And I just would say what we've been saying for weeks is those that love God and country need to really pray for this election coming up.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there will be a debate with Chris Wallace next week?
There's going to have to be. I mean, if through some thinly veiled excuse, Biden tried to, you know, recuse himself from the debate, I think 99% of everybody is going to perceive that as, call it fear, preemptive damage control, whatever. But no, the American people will not buy a leader sight unseen. And I think there will be a debate. There has to be. And I think the debate is going to be overwhelmingly in the president's favor.
Why?
The outcome of the debate.
Why?
Well, because Joe Biden, and by the way, I mean, you really have to chuckle. You know Biden's handlers are going to be taking Pepto-Bismol and Alka-Seltzer.
No, they're going to be atheists who are praying.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, bless his heart, to get him off script, I mean, you know, he just, days ago, I know you all know this, but said that 200 million Americans have died from COVID. Mm. I mean, that's a third of the U.S. population. And, you know, to get him off script, it would be humorous to watch if it weren't really kind of sad. Because, you know, as Christians, we know that human life is sacred in every context. The unborn, made in the image of God, they have a right to life. And elderly people, and I don't mock or, you know, make fun of Joe Biden. I mean, his A game is a couple of decades behind him. And so, in a way, I really think it's unfortunate on a couple of levels. I think it's demoralizing to him, although he may not realize that he's out there. You know, when he does make public appearances on those rare occasions, I mean, he says things that are wildly inaccurate, and he embarrasses himself, although he may not even be aware of that. But the other thing is, the American people deserve a better, if he were to win, you know, the American people deserve a leader, and we all know that he's the candidate for the Democrats merely because they just believe that they had their best shot at defeating Donald Trump in Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think they're right about that. I think had they chosen Bernie Sanders or somebody else, I don't think they would be close to beating President Trump. So I think that the decision the Democrats made in the primary process to everybody close down and circle around Joe Biden was their best chance to win. And I think that was a wise political move on their part, even with Vice President's obvious problems notwithstanding. Ray, I think the format for the debate with Chris Wallace is 6 15-minute segments.
Right.
Topics that, you know, that Chris Wallace is going to come up with, he's already announced some of them, I think. I just think that could be disastrous for Joe Biden.
You know, I think Trump is going to come out strong, and I expect him to do whatever it takes. I was going to say he's going to try to get under Joe's skin. I don't think he's going to have to try. He's just going to come out firing on all cylinders like he does. And I think we won't be through the first segment, guys, before Joe makes some kind of incredible misstatement. He's going to do what he does. And I think we won't be through the first segment before that happens. And the Democrats are going to be praying and then maybe trying to get a good stiff drink to get themselves through the night. I think that's what's going to happen next Tuesday night.
Yeah. Fred, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. Yeah. Chris Wallace, his topics, Trump and Biden records, Supreme Court, COVID-19. The economy, race and violence in our cities, the integrity of the election. Those are the topics that Chris Wallace has chosen. And on each of those, the president has a record on them. And I think the debate has been previewed over the last several months since we knew Joe Biden was going to be on top of the Democratic ticket. Each of those issues they've addressed. So I agree with Ray. I think what people are going to be watching for is if Joe Biden can make it through the debate without some gaffes.
Yeah.
Walker, let me tell you this. We talked yesterday. An analogy I would use here is President Trump plays in the major leagues with the media every day. He does rope line give and take as he's going out to Marine One. He goes in and does these press conferences where he answers questions. He does that every day with the news media, who hate his guts.
Yep.
And they know it, and their questions are biased and slanted oftentimes. Sometimes he calls that out.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he's in the game, and he's sparring. That keeps him sharp. He does a one-on-one, one-hour interview with a tough guy, Chris Wallace, who he did that in like August. I remember that was outside at the White House, and they were both sweating profusely. This was like when it was like 95 degrees in D.C. I don't know why they did the interview outside, but anyway. Then Chris Wallace said, well, I'm going to ask Vice President Biden for the same thing, a one-hour sit-down interview. And the Biden campaign said, no, we're not doing that. And they've refused. He said, Chris Wallace said, I'm going to ask him every week to do this. And every week the Biden campaign has said, if Chris Wallace has asked, they refuse to do it. So here's what I'm saying is that Joe Biden is down in A-ball. There's A, AA, AAA, major leagues. President Trump is playing in the big leagues. The team of Joe Biden that Joe Biden has said he's over the hill. This is what they're not saying that out in open. And we can't subject him to Chris Wallace for an hour. We could potentially torpedo.
Sure.
A lot of risk there. So what I'm saying is, if that's not a good way to prep for an hour and a half with Chris Wallace, is to avoid doing a one-on-one with him.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you're right. And I don't. You know, we've spoken this week and last week about whether the debate will even take place, just seeing whether Biden's campaign staff are going to let him get up there for 90 minutes straight, no commercials, with President Trump and Chris Wallace there. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But President Trump, as you mentioned, is a master of the media, and he knows how to handle them. And
he knows where Chris Wallace is going to
ask. Yeah, you come in there with Chris Wallace, and Chris Wallace thinks he's going to talk about those topics, but President Trump's really just going to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. And I'll almost guarantee you, Chris Wallace is going to try to rein President Trump in. If President Trump goes off topic and it's not on Chris Wallace's to talk about list, then Chris Wallace is going to tell him to get back on topic.
Alex, does Chris Wallace, you think he's worried about badgering an old man who doesn't have all his faculties?
No. I'm not talking about
Trump. I'm talking about Biden. Because that looks bad when you beat up on old people who can't think clearly.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think he's going to do this, and finally, after months of softball questions, T-ball grade sports, Chris Wallace, I think he's going to run this like the debate it needs to be. You know, if you've ever been to a Major League Baseball game, used to be, I haven't seen this in years, but there used to be old-timers games. And I remember it was a real thrill one time I got to go see Joe DiMaggio. This is forever ago. But Joe DiMaggio played in an old-timers game, and then the Atlanta Braves came out. That, Tim, your analogy is exactly right. I mean, the president is in the majors.
Yeah.
And he's ready.
And he's ready. Well, now, there is the idea that, you know, you have so low expectations that if you just get up there and breathe and say three complete sentences, that's a success, right?
Exactly.
So there will be some of that.
Yeah.
But I agree with Alex. This is not a good situation for the former vice president to be in. He's debating with Donald Trump for an hour and a half with Chris Wallace as a moderator, covering six different topics. All right. Thanks, Alex.
God bless you all.
Okay. We'll be back in a minute, folks. Stay with us.